Last week, the title of the message was Consider Joseph, and all that how he was involved in the birth of Christ, and all the things that, kind of the examples that he set for us, challenges out of his life that challenges us as believers. And today, we're going to look at Mary, and that's a you know, a lot of focus is on Mary, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But there's a lot of lessons out of her life that apply to us as well. And so that's what we're going to look at this week. And I had Dan read a small part. I was joking with him before the service. He says, I'm only supposed to read like one verse, you know. And I said, well, I thought about having you read the whole chapter. And so... So he was pretty grateful he only had like three verses there after that. So, Mary and Joseph, you know, we talk about them so much, I think sometimes we kind of lose exactly what they went through. And that's one thing I try to bring out when we talk about people out of the Bible is these are real people. Sometimes we read them and we seem a little detached from them and we kind of place them in a group or something or on a level. But we need to understand that all these, what we would call the great people like Moses and David and Mary and Joseph and Paul, and these are all people just like you and me. They had their doubts. They had their times on the mountaintop. They had their low times. They had good things going on in their lives at times. They had tragedies in their lives at times. And they're not any different than you and I. They laughed. They cried. They sometimes had to deal with bitterness. They had to deal with forgiveness. And all the things that we deal with in our lives, these people had to deal with. They lived it out. And even more importantly, or maybe it strikes me more, is the fact that their lives were recorded in a book that's been read by millions and millions of people and dissected and preached about. I mean, how would you like someone to get up and preach about your life? You know, and know the details that God reveals in these people's lives and then, you know, share it with the world. I mean, it's pretty amazing, really. You know, these were, yes, amazing people that God used greatly, but they were people. And never lose sight of that. You know, that they're just men and women like you and I that, bring our flaws and our issues to the table along with our strengths, you know, as well. And God wants to use all those things. And that's really, you know, Mary and Joseph, they had their doubts and flaws and things. And we're going to look at some of Mary's and today and realize that despite all that, God used them in a tremendous way. And if you get nothing else out of this, just remember God wants to use you in a tremendous way, in some way. You know, you may never get the notoriety of some of these people, but that's not what it's about. It's about God using you in your world, in, you know, the people that you meet, the sphere of influence that he has given you in your life, and using that to glorify him and expand the kingdom. And that's really what it's about. So we're going to turn to Mary. And I don't, you know, usually I have a text. Usually I just preach verse by verse, but this is kind of topical and I'm a little out of my element with this, but it's necessary from time to time. I'd rather just go through a series of verses and preach that. But so it's mostly going to be in Luke chapter 1, although there's some other references in Luke 2 and in Matthew as well. But I've got most of them on the screen for you, so you won't have to dig too hard. But let's look at Mary. And the first thing we're going to look at is Mary's stature, her stature. Mary was blessed among women. You know, and the Bible tells us this in Luke 1:28. It says, the angel came to her and said, rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you. And how would you like an angel to just, you know, here you are, and it's a day like any other day. We, you know, most scholars think that Mary was a teenager, maybe 16, maybe 18, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood. And she just gets up on another day like any other day, going to get up and, you know, do the things that she had to do maybe in her home. We don't know much about her home or her background, other than, you know, we get a family tree of sorts in Luke, of her. But other than that, other than that she's poor, Mary and Joseph both were not, well off materially, but, all that to say, it's another day getting up, maybe having breakfast and maybe going out back to do some chore or something. And bam, an angel appears and says, "Rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you." And man, what an experience that must have been. And in other translations use the word blessed, which is the same thing. And what we can take from this is, yes, she was blessed. She was chosen to bear our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, that's an amazing thing. But you know what? You're blessed. You understand that? You have been blessed. First of all, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. You've been blessed with that. And then there's all the other things. The health that you may have, the wealth that you may have, the job you may have, the children you may have, the air that you breathe, the ability that you had to actually come here today is a blessing. God is a blessing God. And sometimes I think we forget that. We kind of focus on the things that aren't going right. And we kind of forget the things that God is supplying us every single day. And uplifting us, giving us the energy to do the things we need to do. You are blessed. You are blessed. And so we need to never forget that. Through the highs, through the lows, you're blessed. And we see Mary's selection. Mary's selection. Mary was selected by God for a very specific purpose. 135, the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." To be selected by God means that God has a purpose for you. Do you know that you were selected by God? The Bible makes it very clear about being chosen. We are chosen. And He didn't just choose you. You know, like, I don't know, different people have different abilities, and sometimes you get chosen to be on a team, but you never play. You know, you get chosen. Okay, you know, you're like, you're the last one chosen, you know, choosing up teams, and you're the last one chosen. Why? Because you're probably not very good or very big or very whatever is needed. And so, okay, you're on the team, but, you know, you're just going to sit there. You're not going to get in the game. Well, you know what? God doesn't work that way. If He chose you, and He did, because you're here, then He has a purpose for you. You're not to sit on the sidelines. You've been selected by God. So let me ask you a question. What are you selected for? What are you selected for? Do you know? Do you understand you're selected with purpose? And that God chose you and will empower you. He says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You understand that what He's chosen you for, He will empower you for? Do you trust Him for that? To fulfill the purpose for your life? He has a purpose. You were chosen with purpose. It wasn't random. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't like, oh, wow, Mike prayed and asked to receive me, and now I don't know what to do with him. Never saw that coming. No. When God reached down and saved me, He had a reason to do so. And same with you. There was a reason. There is a reason. I was talking with somebody the other day about retirement. They were talking about retirement, and we were just laughing because, you know, there's no retirement in the Bible. Pretty much when you retire in the Bible, you're gone. You know, you're gone. That's retirement age in the Bible, okay? Now, you may retire from your job, but God's not done with you. You have purpose as long as you have breath. Maybe that's all you have left. So in that breath, praise the Lord. That may just be your purpose at that point. Whatever it may be. But you were selected with purpose. You need to understand. That's something we can learn from Mary. Here's a big one. Mary's submission. Mary's submission. You know, the angel had just gotten done telling her, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son. And he's going to be called the Son of the Most High God. And you're going to name him Jesus. You know, it tells all these things. And Mary asks a question in verse 34, chapter 1 of Luke. She says, how can this be? I've never been with a man. I've never been intimate with a man. How can this be? You know what? That's a logical question. That's a logical question. Now notice though that Mary did not doubt that this was going to happen. She asked, how can this happen? She believed. And then he told her the verse that I just showed you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you in the power of the Most High. And verse 37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Do you believe that? Now, you know what I've found in my life, and you may have found it in yours. I believe it for someone else, but I don't necessarily believe it for me. You know, God does the impossible in someone else's life, but he's going to overlook my life. No. Listen, God does the impossible in your life too. The fact that you are not going to pay for your sin, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're going to be in heaven forever with God. That's impossible without God intervening in your life. That's impossible. He's already done the impossible. So don't doubt him on all this other stuff. You know, when we have doubts in our mind about, oh, God wants to use me for this. I'm not ready. I'm not equipped. I'm not trained. I'm not. Are you doing it or is God doing it through you? That's the question. And the question becomes, will you submit? And I mean, this is the hallmark of Mary, is this verse right here. This is the response that she has. I am the Lord's slave or servant, depends on your translation. May it be done to me according to your word. That's total submission. God, whatever it is you want to do with me, do it according to your word. Whatever it may be. We need to have that kind of attitude. If you really want God to use you, do you really want to impact the kingdom of God? Impact the world for the kingdom of God? You got to submit. You got to get you out of the way. And you know, it's not easy. It's not I do marriage counseling. I do, you know, like getting married, premarital counseling, you might say. And I always get into the subject of submission. And people don't like that word. But it's a good word. It's just that we apply it wrongly. And that's what gives it a kind of a bad rep. Submitting to God, especially. God's a good master. He's got your best interest at heart. Don't doubt him. Don't take your doubts with other areas where we have to submit because we're submitting to imperfect people and imperfect situations. And that makes it hard sometimes. But submitting to the Most High God who is perfect, he deals with us according to truth and grace. Praise God for the grace. Because if it was just truth, we'd all be in trouble, right? But with grace, submit to him. as Mary did. When God reveals his will to you, how do you react? When you think about Mary, remember, this is a person. This is a woman, young woman, that's not supposed to be pregnant yet. And God's just said, you're going to be pregnant, and it's in a culture where previously you could be stoned for it. And yet she says, you know what, Lord? I know I'm innocent. I know I haven't violated any of your law in that way. Do it unto me as you see fit. May it be done according to your word. In knowing that she's probably going to pay a price for this, which she does, and we'll look at that, but she does. And trusting God for this event to be in her life. Now, we may never have that dramatic of an event in our life, but, you know, God does do some crazy stuff in the lives of his children that sometimes it just requires, you know what, Lord, I don't know why, but I'm just going to do what you ask. I'm just going to submit to you and trust you. Because it really comes down to faith, doesn't it? It comes down to faith. Believing that God does know what he's doing. I mean, you ever been there? You ever been there where, like, God, you know, let me remind you of what you're asking me to do? Let me remind you. And God allowed her to ask questions. And you know what? You can ask God questions. Can you make it clearer, God? Can you help me understand what you're trying to do? There's no sin in that. The sin comes in disobedience. When you know, well, what does James say? He that knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So when God has asked you to do something and you know it's from God, now you're faced with a choice. Now you must make a decision. And Mary made hers, and she says, you know what? I'm your slave. You know, it's funny what Jesus said. He says, many, many will say, Lord, Lord, but I will say, I never knew you. Many are going to say, oh, I preached in your name and did all these things, and I'm going to say, I never knew you. Another place he says, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I ask? You know, when we say Lord, what we're saying is, I'm submitting to your authority. You have authority in my life. And, you know, I know lots of people that have trouble with authority. I'm raising my hand. I don't like to be told what to do. My wife is dying. Just say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well, it's just a reflection off this. It's not really me. I always tell you, you know, most of these things I preach to myself anyway, so. But, you know, we do not like to be told what to do. You know, if the speed limit says 60, what do you drive?
65.
Yeah, 70, 65. Yeah, you drive 65 for 1 second on your way to 70. Yeah. You know, 75. Now we're getting closer to the truth. Yeah.
But I go 85.
Go 8, there we go. I mean, you know what we do, though? We push the limits, don't we? We push the limits. We don't like to be told what to do. It's in our nature. It's part of the sin nature. But when God reveals his will to you, how do you react? Do you react like, no, I'm not going to do that? Or do you react like Mary? May it be done. May it be done. Are you submissive no matter what? I mean, most of you women, I mean, how would you like it if you just found out you're going to be pregnant? And I know a lot of you are past that age, right? Or maybe you've had some parts removed and it's biologically impossible. But is anything impossible with God?
No.
No. Think of Sarah, right? She laughed, right? And you know, she gets a bad rap for that. Because you know, Abraham laughed too. It's in there. Read it. He laughed too. So, and you'd be, you know, most of you laughed right now when I said it, right? Could God do it if he wanted to? Yes, he could. Yes, he could. So are you submissive no matter what? Wow.
No.
Well, we'll be praying for you.
Sorry.
It's all right. Making you think. It's just making you think. What is it that God's asking you right now? And it may have, and I hope it has nothing to do with that, but what's he doing in your life where he wants you to do something that's kind of out of your comfort zone that may put you in a bad position and in the eyes of others? Because that's really what was going to happen. She was going to be in a bad position in the eyes of others, knowing that she was innocent, knowing that she had done nothing wrong. And she was going to bear that her whole life. And yet she said, Lord, I trust you. I'm just going to submit to you. Wow. What a woman. What a person. And then we see Mary's song. Mary's song. She goes and visits her cousin, or, you know, there was some kind of relation. Usually we use the word cousin, but I think it was more like second cousin or something. But that was going to have a baby in her older years. And she went, and the baby leaped for joy. John the Baptist in the womb leaped for joy. And the woman felt it, Elizabeth. And because John the Baptist came in the presence of Jesus. You know, Jesus was there. John the Baptist was there. And then Mary breaks out with this song. It's in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And it goes through 55. We're not going to read that whole thing, but being used of God brings joy to the heart of a believer. It does. You know, there is nothing better than knowing that God laid something on your heart, asked you to do something. You go forward and do it, regardless of the result. You submitted, you did it to the best of your ability, you know, with the power that he gave you, and you walk out of there, and you're like, you know what, God? Thank you so much. You came through again. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than that. And Mary did a song, and just a few verses of it. She says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Yeah, don't they? Because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. And that's just part of the song. I just put that part in there. But she was humble. You know, yes, God used her, and she obeyed and submitted and went through, you know, eventually her whole life serving, you know. You know, a mother serves her children. You know, she raised Jesus along with the others that came after him. And we're going to get into that, but she did that. And she just sang. It just brought joy to her heart. Do you rejoice when God does something in your life, even if it causes you some distress? You know, it's easy to rejoice when it all goes good, isn't it? You know, hey, I did this. Wow, look at that. Wow, that was all good. But sometimes being obedient, sometimes being used of God causes you some discomfort. Do you rejoice anyway? Because, see, that's what true joy is. It's not happiness. You've heard me say this before. Happiness is a result of your circumstances, which can change. You know, when things are going good, hey, I'm healthy. I got a few bucks in the bank. I got food in the cupboard. You know, it's all good right now. Oh, I'm happy. Well, hey, maybe you lose your job. Maybe you lose your health. Now, are you happy? Probably not. And rightfully so. You're not going to be happy, but you can still have joy. Because joy rises beyond our circumstances. And she knew what was ahead of her. And yet when she saw the reaction of the unborn John the Baptist and her cousin there and all that, she realized, boy, this is really happening. And wow, and she breaks out in this great, great song. Even if it causes you some distress, are you going to have joy? And then we see Mary's service. Mary's service. You know, Mary not only bore Jesus, but she raised him and stayed with him all the way to the cross and beyond. And beyond the cross. We see in Acts, Jesus has died. And he's risen from the dead. And he told them, you know, go wait. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And, you know, and he rose. And they're all in the upper room. And it says what? They were all continually united in prayer. This is in the upper room. Along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. You know, she, her service, she stayed with it. Through the good times of raising him, through the hard times of raising him, of being his mom, seeing him die the way he did, seeing him buried, but then seeing the resurrected Savior, and then still wanting to serve. We see her service. What a lesson. You know, I'm sure Jesus brought her great joy, and then there was great pain, wasn't it, in being the mother of Jesus Christ. There was great pain involved in that. When God calls you to service, are you in it for the long haul? Are you in it all the way? That's the question. You know, I've taught men for several years. And I tell them, because I get them all ages. You know, sometimes I have young men. I've taught this men's fraternity thing. I've taught it for many years. And you get some men at the beginning, young men, some of them in their teens. And then you get other men that are kind of middle-aged, and then you get other men that are on the other end of the spectrum. You know, they're older. But, you know, it's true. There's only three categories. There's only, I think it's three, now, however many. But it's, you can start off bad and end up good. Okay? Look at Paul. And he was persecuting the church, right? I mean, he was going to eliminate the church, and yet God got a hold of him, and he ended up good. You know, and he finished. And then you get other people that start off good and end up not so good. They kind of give up, huh? Start off on fire. You look at Solomon. Started off just praising God, building the temple, and in the end, he was a mess. Still God's child, still, you know, but he was a mess. And then you got other people that start good and end good. Are you in it all the way? Where are you at right now? Have you started off maybe a little rocky, but now, you know, it's going good. Well, I'm glad. I praise God for it. Finish. Finish. That's what it's about. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up on God. Don't let your circumstances bring you down. You know, Mary finished. I mean, it was all done. She watched Jesus depart and say, you know what? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and I'm going to come back one day. You know, the angels came and said, hey, this one that left this way is going to come back in like manner. We're still waiting. But that didn't stop Mary from going to that room waiting for the power. waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, we don't have to wait anymore. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you get all the Spirit you're going to get. Question is, how much of you is He going to get? That's the question. When God calls you to service, are you in it for the duration? That's what we learn from Mary. And here's one we don't want to talk about, but we got to, and that's her sorrow. Being Jesus' mother would not just bring joy, but also sorrow. There was some sad times. I want you to think about some of this. She knew who Jesus was from the beginning. I mean, she was told in that when the angel came, you're going to bear the Son of God. Listen, they were not ignorant of the Scriptures. They knew the Messiah was due to come. Young women in that day were preparing, thinking they might be the one. They knew this could happen. Herod, when the wise men came, called the scribes. Hey, where's he going to be born? Bethlehem. When's it going to be? Well, about now. Kill all the males 2 years and under. Because Herod, no one's going to take his throne. Because he totally misunderstood what the throne was all about. They knew this was the time. And she was picked. And she had joy. She knew who Jesus was from the beginning. But she's still a mom. And all you ladies out there that have had children, a mom's heart. A mom's heart for her kids, even if one of them's the Son of God. Simon, when Jesus was 8 days old, as according to the Jewish tradition and law, took him to the temple to be circumcised. And Simon sees him, this saint that had... been told you'll never die till you see this baby, And Simon blesses him and tells the mother, indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and a sign that will be opposed. Yeah, this is the child telling the mom. Yeah, he's the one, but there's going to be opposition. And a sword will pierce your own soul. How would you like to be told that with your 8-day-old child in your arms? Because of what this child, how God is going to use this child, a sword will pierce your own soul. She knew. And there were ever deepening sorrows along the way. When he was 12, remember? I mentioned it last week how, Mary and Joseph, they kind of lost God. Jesus was left behind. Then they get to where they're going a day out, and they're like, whoa, we lost him. Can you imagine? It still blows me away. I just talked about it last week, but it still blows me away. I mean, we've been entrusted, and we lost him. We got to go back. So they go back, and they found him. And when they found him, look what the mother says. Joseph doesn't say this. Look what the mother says. Son, why have you treated us like that? Doesn't that sound like a mom? Doesn't that sound like a mom? Son, why have you treated us that way? Just playing on his heart. That's what moms do, right? Playing on his heart. Now I'll mention your dad. Yeah, your father and I have been anxiously, Joseph's probably sitting there, my wife and I, we have this a lot. He's all right. Don't worry about it. He's all right. He'll be all right. And she's like, in my head, it's going to be all right. And sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes he wasn't all right, okay? But most of the time they were, though. But why do you treat us this way? And look what he says back. Why were you searching for me? He asked them. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house? Now, this is 12 years old. But here's the thing. He's already beginning to sever the ties. Not that Mary won't always be his mom, because she is. But that, I'm beginning to serve my father now. this, you know, I've got to grow up. You know, I find it interesting that when you read in Genesis, before they even have kids, you know, God says, you know, the husband's got to leave his parents and cling to his wife only. Jesus had to leave his parents so he could cling to his wife only. And who's his wife? Us, the church. Those ties have to be severed at some point. And that's painful for mom when kids start severing the ties. And Jesus started doing that at age 12. He also did it later at a wedding. Remember the wedding? They're all invited to the wedding. Comes to the wedding, they run out of wine. And that's a big deal back then, okay? This is a major deal. To us, it's like, oh, go to the store and get some more, you know, whatever. But it's a big deal there. So when the wine ran out, Jesus' mother told him, they don't have any wine. And that's like a mom, isn't it? Don't ask him to make more wine. You know, my wife does this with me. She won't ask me. She'll just say, they don't have any wine. Now that's like, I'm supposed to get the clue. Not that it's wine. But we're out of potato chips, okay? Let me clean it up a little. We're out of potato chips. Now she doesn't actually ask me to go get them. But that's what she means, okay? That's what she means. And then usually I'll just go, okay, so we're out. Oh, you want me to go get them? Oh, okay. Hey, look what, see, I'm in good company, dear. Because Jesus says, what does that got to do with you and me, woman? But, you know, now understand this, you know, in our culture, if we say woman, you know, you're probably in for a fight, okay? I don't say to my wife, woman, what are you talking to me for? But weren't you supposed to be somewhere else today? And why are you on the front row today? Usually you're back there with the grandkids. What's up with this? Anyway. But you know, I don't have it bad, believe me. But anyway, but back then that was, you know, that was the way, that was a respectful thing. Okay, so just understand that Jesus never disrespected his mom, okay? But Jesus said, my hour's not yet come. You know, there was going to be a time. And then what did he do? He did go ahead and perform the miracle, didn't he? And it was his first miracle. But we see that, you know, again, he's saying, you know, I'm moving into another area. I'm in ministry now, Mom. I'm in ministry now. And I'm sure that bothered her. That was at the beginning of his ministry. And then here's another place. This was during his ministry. He just spoke to a bunch of people and there's a crowd around him and someone comes up and says, look to Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. So like, you know, it's kind of like if you got somebody in the show, so to speak, and you come up there, hey, you know, that's my son over there. You know, I want to speak to him. Oh, well, you know, and they go over there. And then what does he reply? Who are my mother? Who's my mother? Who are my brothers? And he looked at his people and he said, here's my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Again, he's saying there's a difference now because, see, this is not about the physical relationship anymore. This is about spiritual things. And I'm sure a little pang again comes in Mary's heart. But then comes the big one. And you know what I'm talking about. When he goes to the cross. And here she sees her son being scourged and beaten, carrying a cross for and he's a man that has done nothing wrong. It's bad enough if you're a mom and your child has done something wrong and, you know, you don't like it, but you go, well, he did make some bad choices. He deserves it. But when you know your son did nothing wrong and he's being executed in a horrible way, do you think she was pierced in her heart? You know she was. You know she was. You know, being the mother of Jesus did not exempt Mary from sorrow. There was great joy in being chosen. There was great, it was a great, tremendous task that was given her. But many times, joy and sorrow go hand in hand. Serving God sometimes requires that your heart's going to be pierced too. Do you recognize that serving God may include having your soul pierced? You know, I think like Pat and Dave, you know. They raise their kids, they want them to serve God, and one of them goes to a very hostile place for 9 years. And I'm sure they would love to have those grandkids around a lot more than they do. And yet, I know they're very pleased with their son and their family for what they do, spreading the gospel in a very hostile place. And you know, it pierces your heart a little bit. Those kids have been sick. You know, she's a grandma, and she reads the emails, and she wants to change something. And you can't do it. You got to let those kids make their decisions, what they're going to do. And, you know, Mary had to watch Jesus make the decisions he made to carry out the will of his Father for you and me. It's an amazing thing. So she had great joy, but she also had great sorrow. And when we serve, you know what? There's no guarantee it's all smooth. When we serve the Lord, there's going to be some rough times. And yeah, your heart may even get broken over what transpires. But do you trust him? Do you trust him? I find it, I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's amazing how we process things. We can trust him with our very eternity, but we have a hard time trusting him with our money or our health or our job or our kids or, you know, you fill in the blank for you. And we'll trust him with forever, but I don't trust him with right now. I have that tendency. You may also. I don't know. If you do, then it's for you. And then lastly, we see Mary's salvation. Mary was aware of her need for a Savior. She said in her song, "My soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." You know, there's certain persuasion out there that you know, basically treats Mary as if she is God. But Mary had to have a Savior too. She was a person, remember? A person just like you and me. She was blessed with a great task by God, a wonderful thing to have happen, to be used of God in that way. But in the end, she still had to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. She's not deity. She's a person, like the rest of us. She needed Jesus. And my question becomes, do you need Jesus? Do you need Jesus? Mary does not stand apart from the rest of the sinful human race. She recognized her need of deliverance from sin and guilt. Yes, she had a special part to play in God's plan of redemption, but she was just an ordinary woman who God used in an extraordinary way. But Mary's journey with God is no different than ours. It included great joy as well as great sorrow. It required humility, a submissive spirit, and perseverance. I am sure that at times she felt overwhelmed, but her faith carried her through to the completion of her call. When the way seems to require too much from you, consider Mary. You know, there's a saying among Christians a lot that is not true. Okay? It sounds good, but it's not true. And the saying is that God will never give me more than I can handle. That is not true, and that is not in the Bible. The verse that they kind of get that from is in Corinthians, where he says, there is no temptation that God will not provide you a way out. That's not the same thing as saying God's not going to give me more than I can handle. Listen, if you could handle every single thing that ever came your way, why would you need God? Okay? Why would we need His power, His strength? Why does the Bible have a verse in it that says where we are weak, that's where He is strong? And Paul himself said he despaired of life. He was so overwhelmed that they even despaired of life itself. So you're in good company. Paul felt overwhelmed. The great Paul felt overwhelmed beyond his capacity. The good news is when it seems like it's too much is required, that's when you need God. That's when you need Him to carry you. That's when you need Him to fill in the blank for you, to give you some power that you don't have, to give you that encouragement that no one else can give you. That's when you need it. And consider Mary, what she went through and all those things. I'm sure she felt overwhelmed at the cross. But God carried her through it. And the last place we see her is that place in Acts where she's praying, waiting for God to do the next thing in her life. Are you overwhelmed? Is there something going on in your life and you feel like it's just gotten beyond you? Turn to Jesus. Bask in His strength, in His love, in His care. There may be someone here today that you don't even understand what I'm talking about. Why? Because you've never taken the first step. That first step is becoming a child of God. And the only way you do that is to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You admit to Him you're a sinner. You ask Him to forgive you. You trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for your sin. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overpower you. And you will have a new family. You will be adopted into the family of God and be joint heir with the Son forever. Forever. Do you need Jesus? This would be a good time. For the rest of us, there may be some here that are overwhelmed. There may be some here that are just discouraged. There may be some here that's been strong and maybe your faith has been rocked a little bit by something going on in your life, something you didn't anticipate. Maybe you're just not joyful right now for some reason. There's some issue going on in your life. Consider Mary. And what she did and went through and how God carried her all the way. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Kathy's going to play on the piano. I'm going to have an invitation. How many here would say, Brother Mike, I never I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never asked for forgiveness. And you could be like me. You may have done that once and it wasn't even real. Because I did that once and it wasn't even real. But there came a point where I got real with God and I admitted my need of Him. And you may be here today. Is there anybody like that? I need Him in a way I've never had Him before. Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. Just want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. How many here would say, Brother Mike, right now, I mean, it's a Christmas season and we're all putting on a happy face, but you know what? There's some overwhelming things going on in my life right now. Anybody like that? I just feel a little overwhelmed right now. God bless you. God bless you. Several people overwhelmed. Consider Mary. Consider what God will do in your life, just like He did in hers. Take heart. Don't be discouraged. How many would say, Brother Mike, God's kind of revealed some of His will to me, and I've been kind of holding back. I haven't been as submissive to Him as I should be in that area. Anybody like that? God just brought it to my attention. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. Listen, if God's laid that on your heart, go forward in faith. Let Him use you in a mighty way. He wants to. He will. How many would say, Brother Mike, some things have happened and my faith's been shaken a little bit. Just, you know, I still believe, but I'm kind of wavering a little bit here. I just need to kind of refocus and gather myself a bit. And anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray for these that raise their hand. Lord, there's a lot of different things going on in this room. You are working right now, Lord. Father God, I pray that those that need strength, You give them strength. Those that need courage, You give them courage. Those that need purpose, You give them purpose, Lord. Lord God, those that are just low, that You give them joy. That You would refocus their thoughts on You and what You have done and what You want to do in their life. And Lord God, give them perseverance. Give them the stamina they need to continue on. Maybe what they're going through is not going to go away. And maybe they need to come to grips with that. And Lord God, I pray You'd do that. That You would work in their heart and their mind. That they could be joyful in the midst of pain and sorrow. Lord God, You are God. You can do that. And I call upon You in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is Your time as Kathy prays. If you need prayer, now's the time. You come forward, I will pray with you. If you need salvation, come forward, I will pray with you. If you got something just heavy on your heart, and maybe you don't want to pray with me, you just want to come forward and just pray, you come and do that. That's what this is about. It's about dealing with God right where you're at, letting Him work as only He can do. This is your time. Take advantage of it. Father, Lord God, I ask Your blessing on those that raised their hand. And there may have been some that wanted to raise their hand, but maybe they didn't for one reason or another. But Lord God, You know the heart. You know the condition of every person in this church. And Lord God, I pray You would meet them right where they're at and show them Your love, Your grace. Give them courage and faith, Lord. Help them, Lord, to accomplish Your purpose in their life. For Your glory, for Your kingdom, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.